Welcome to the Art Scene, brought to you each week by UALR Public Radio. I'm Ann Nicholson. This week I have two guests, both from Arkansas Rep. The Rep's renewal opened, as promised, on February the 22nd, to much jubilation. I asked Ruth Shepherd, the board chair, to add a comment or two after the fact. And she brought the musical director, Michael Rice, who is on stage with his band on every performance and has his own style. Listeners can be forgiven for wondering who are the performers here and who's simple spokesman. What about the writing of a show like Chicago that everybody knows and everybody is hearing other versions of it perhaps as they watch? It still rings a bell to people.
It does. And you know, we're sort of doing, we've gone back to his pure version, which is, I even studied the original soundtrack from 1975.
Right about then.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go, because it's been doctored and futzed with, I wanted to go back and look at what it was then, and Ron and I agreed. I called him one day before, and I said, just so you know, I've been listening to the original Broadway cast. He said, me too.
Oh, so good.
So that was good.
Yeah.
What did you both decide?
Well, to put myself in the ballpark getting ready for this, you know, it's still running on Broadway, but it's like a concert version. So 3 weeks before I came down here, I went to see it. And even though I was lucky enough to get to see Charlotte d'Amboise dance Jacques d'Amboise's daughter. That was lovely. But it's a concert version, and Ron said, I want to go back to it. It's a musical vaudeville is what it's billed at. And so this modern version that I saw, they were in all black costumes, and it was very stark and hip.
Very dramatic.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
But Ron said, we want to do what it was originally intended to do, a musical vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done it in the style of vaudeville with vaudeville costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And so that helped me. I think our production's better. Notice I'll try to whisper.
This was what always confused me, because I was told that Cliff had done it way back when he first started the Rep.
Yes, in the 80, in 1981. So it was the musical was about 5 years old when we were able to do it at the Rep originally.
Yeah. Because I know talking to Guy at your first night.
Yes.
He said, this is when we did it, before such a time had come. And I was so glad to see him, because he was very quiet, but very much in the show, watching it.
Absolutely. And everybody was there. That original production in 1981, Cliff Baker directed. Guy Couch was the stage manager. Sally Riggs, the late Sally Riggs, was Roxy. Phyllis Blumenfeld, who everyone remembers, was Velma. And Ron Auger was Amos, Mr. Cellophane, is what everybody thinks of him.
What else did he do? Because that
Amos.
Name is so familiar. Did he do other things too?
Oh, yes.
Ron Auger?
Mm.
Oh, he was in many, many, many shows. But he was fabulous as Mr. Cellophane, which is such a clever, you know, character anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final person who was in it is the late Fran Austin, and she was Mama Morton. And, you know, she could be really mean on stage. So there may have been other folks, but those are the ones that when we went, Guy and I sort of went down memory lane, those are the folks that we all remember in being in that first mm-hmm. Chicago production.
And I assume Sharon Douglas was the musical director.
Oh, that would make sense.
She was the resident musical director back then.
Yeah.
So quite a crew of really, really talented folks.
And she was in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
With the
Rep.
Yes.
For sure. But I want to say that this production that we just opened at the Rep is as good as any musical that I've seen on the Rep stage. It's clever. It's beautiful. The cast is incredibly talented. I mean, they're all triple threats. They can all sing and dance mm-hmm. and act. The music and the band are pretty wonderful, Michael.
I think the band is smoking, if I do say so myself. We've got an 8-piece band.
Yeah.
And that has not been the case at the Rep. And I mean, they've had bigger bands, but we're seen on stage. And that doesn't happen. In recent years, that did not happen at the Rep as much. And I love that we're front and center, and you're getting to see everything you've paid for.
Right, and every so often you make comments and call the next number, don't you?
I have a couple of lines.
Did you have a hard time memorizing your lines?
Should I confess, I'm sort of half memorizing and half reading still. I've gotten good at looking like I'm not.
You don't use your fingers to make sure that they can follow
you. Yeah.
Right. Oh, dear. Well, it sounds as though all of you in the cast are enjoying it as much, if not more, as the people who are there to pay for it.
We are. And this cast is amazing. I've never seen... they're so energetic, and you can tell that they just love the piece, which is great. Sometimes you do jobs and you don't love the piece. Mm-hmm. It's a job. But these people, I think Ron chose these people because he knew that they wanted to mm-hmm. do it. They mm-hmm. love the piece.
And and it comes across.
Yep.
And you saw it. I saw it. It comes across when you're in the audience that everybody in this cast is having a great time. They're committed. And Ron talked about that. There's a difference, but if you're committed, and this cast is really committed.
How many of the people in the cast were as involved emotionally as some of those who had been in it from the beginning?
Well, in terms of this cast, I think that they're all pretty emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way it reads from the audience. For example, today, when we're taping this show, we have just had a student matinee this morning. But the cast was there last night for a regular performance and then a talk back that the about 75 people stayed to talk to our Josh Marchese, our production manager. And the story is he had to kick them out. You know, and he had some of the cast members there. You were probably there for part of it.
No, I had friends, and I had to take them out afterwards.
But there were cast members there.
But I love that they had to kick them out because they were that engaged.
And so that means that the cast members were there late last night, and then they were up again, and they were in good voice and, you know, already warmed up and already limber and ready to do all of those amazing dances and sing those amazing songs.
Wear those amazing no clothes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. For a student matinee. And then they'll perform again tonight. Mm. So my sense is that that they are all emotionally and mentally and physically committed to this show.
Isn't that wonderful? Because one of my questions was, when you're giving time to something like this, what about the balance that comes over to you as something that's part of it?
I guess the way I would address that is that when we went dark last April, and almost everybody knows at least bits and pieces of that story, but when we went dark last April, it was really, really such a low point for the Rep. But so many folks came out and said, no, the Rep is important, and we want to help you get back on your feet, that we were able to get back on our feet. So one of the questions that we had to address was, what does it mean to be back? What does it mean for the Rep to be a vibrant part of this community again? What show do we need to do? And to what, you know, level do we need to do it? I mean, there were all those questions. One of the questions that the board considered and that our steering committee from last summer considered was, what does it mean to be bold? Because we couldn't just come limping back and say, we're going to have a one-woman show. That just wasn't going to be what the Rep is. Not that we don't have great one-woman shows sometimes or one-man shows. Some of my favorite things have been things like that. So I think the balance came in figuring out what show we wanted to do, to what extent we wanted to produce it, And I love that we are not doing a concert version, that we're doing a full vaudeville version. And I want Michael to talk a little bit about what that means more. But I think that's what the balance was, is we said we have to be bold. And I think we have been. And I think we hit a home run.
First of all, I thought it was a brilliant suggestion. Whoever came up with this, I think it was Cliff, that it's Chicago that shows its face with the Rep's reappearance. It was a perfect choice of a show to reopen the Rep with.
It's got razzle dazzle.
It's got razzle dazzle, and it's a splash, you know? Mm. And it has energy, and it's got it all. But yes, it does have razzle dazzle.
And all that jazz.
And all that jazz.
Which begin to seem almost trite, because you don't realize that this is where it all began.
Right, yeah. Right.
I know, when you hear things, because it's been, how many years since 75? I'm that bad at math. Is that 40 years?
That's 25, 35, 40.
Okay.
Yeah, at least.
When you hear things over and over, they take on almost a generic quality. Mm-hmm. It's life, and it's familiarity with exposure. But to see it in its natural form, how they intended this to be a vaudeville musical, you pull in all the other stuff, and it's okay, it's not just a tune, it's the moment, you know, mm-hmm. that Ron so brilliantly directed.
Well, and the choreography in this tells a lot of the story, too, which is what makes it really brilliant, I think.
And that, of course, is what Ron is very keen to underwrite, that this is what Cliff made him do.
Exactly.
And he and I talked about that for a bit.
Right.
Because choreography is a strange word.
Right.
It's not any language that anybody on stage knows what it's saying, but it makes the choreography special.
And the story, as it was originally written and conceived, you know, it tells itself the best through dance. I mean, that's what it was. That's why they had Gwen Verdon in the original, you know.
Wow. And, I'm sure that was awesome.
You know, but our leads are just as good.
Oh, amen. Amen.
The Rep has established itself in great part because of Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And the people with whom he has interacted.
Absolutely.
And it's with it still, and it still will be. But what is so endearing is that the people who are applauding what you're doing now have done so from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious to know if this was continuing. Now it has started up again.
Well, I want to tell a little anecdote, and it's about the influence that Cliff still has over the Rep with people that he knew very briefly, because, of course, we had Cliff working with us until September when he died last year. But our young sound designer, who is on staff, so he's our electrician, said that we were talking, we just got the show open, so we had sort of that post-mortem, like, what did we do perfectly? What did we do okay? What did we need to improve? All of that. And he was talking about how tired everyone was. I mean, clearly, you know, it's such a collaborative art, and you got to get everything right. And people worked really, really long hours to getting that show open. And he was talking about how tired everyone was. And he said, but for me, it really helped that in the building, I could see photos of Cliff. And it was so touching because he knew Cliff really very briefly, just worked because, you know, a few months at the most did they overlap, and Cliff was not there all the time. And yet his influence is great. And we all, you know, appreciate, as I said before, how brash he was as a young man to found a theater, and then how incredibly talented he was for all those years to keep us running and keep us good. And now his influence and his memory are going to always be important, I think, to those of us who care about the rat.
Yes, I commented at one point that you'll find him in every corner.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He certainly had an influence on my life. And Michael, I want you to talk about the two musicals that you developed with Cliff.
Well,
because a lot of people have seen them.
Yeah, well,
and they'll remember.
It's the Arkansas Rep that brought me to theater, really. I had just graduated in 76 from the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville in class, with a degree in classical piano. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but that summer I came down and saw the Arkansas Rep. Then it was called the Arkansas Philharmonic.
Oh, that was the very first year. Yeah, it was.
That was their very first year.
The rep.
And they were up in the Heights in a little storefront, and I saw their production of A Little Night Music. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I like musical theater. I mean, I still like classical music too, but I said musical theater is what I like. So I started following Cliff, and then Cliff nurtured me to an extent also, and he allowed me to bring back here, which he helped me adapt, Bertolt Brecht's Good Woman of Szechuan. And I did music and lyrics, and Cliff helped shape that book. And it was a stunning production. And then that led to another production in 1989 of a show called Pageant, with an exclamation point, which was about a beauty pageant set in Arkansas. And the same year, a show in off-Broadway in New York opened called Pageant. So we decided that was with all guys. And we just decided to change the name of our show to American Beauty, because it's the one, it has the real female contestants in it. But it was like a chorus line of beauty pageants.
Well, and what I remember about Pageant, which is now called American Beauty, is how it humanized all of the different experiences that young women go through if they are part of a pageant. You know, the success and the fun and all that, but also the despair and the hard work and all of that. And I was very, very touched by that. And the little skits were written by a number of different playwrights.
Cliff so cleverly came up with, they had to be Southern, with Southern background, the playwrights. One was Pulitzer Prize winner Romulus Lenny, Mary Rohde, Kent Brown.
Jack Hefner,
who wrote Vanities, among many other things. Cliff wrote a scene, Hank Bates.
Who is a Little Rock native.
Hi, Hank. I think that Cliff, that was fun.
Right,
you know?
Because the skits had a different point of view. And they, it was a lovely, lovely show.
But so. So Cliff introduced me to musical theater, as you know, and I love that through Cliff's wishes, I had the opportunity to be asked back to come here and open this Chicago and reopen the Rep with Ron Hutchins, and that was a wish of Cliff's, and so it just comes full circle as it should. Okay.
Well, that sort of puts into the pale what the question was asking. That you've had one good press that I've read, but it was a local one. Have you had any coming from outside of Arkansas? Because so much of the support came outside. And I wondered if that was going to be part of the excitement, that you were going to draw in people from outside the state.
That's a good question.
To see what was happening when they'd all been so enthusiastically in support of the rep opening.
Nowadays, the way mass media is, through things like Facebook and such things, I mean, these cast members, 11 of which are from New York City, right? You know, I know that they put their post on, and so people in New York are reading about it. And, you know, information is just quicker and more available. But I've also loved in recent years, after I watched the Arkansas Rep be born here, I've been sitting in theater audiences in New York City, and I'll read in the bio, and I'm watching a Broadway show, and I love seeing someone list Arkansas Rep in their bio, and that happens all the time now, because it's a professional theater here now.
Also, Anne, I know a lot of people want to know that Sunday morning after we opened on Friday night, I got an email from Bob Hupp, who, of course, was our artistic director for 18 years or so. And he said, congrats. You know, you guys obviously have a huge hit on your hands. And then he told me that in a multi-million-dollar production of Rent somewhere, the leading man fractured his ankle and it didn't happen. And they didn't do the show. And I don't know if most folks know this, but our leading lady, our original leading lady, who was playing Roxy, fractured her ankle the Saturday before we were going to open. And we had an understudy who has stepped in, and she is amazing.
She's very good.
Her name is Madeline Corliss, is our understudy. And our leading lady, whose name is Adriana, I don't know her last name, will probably be back in another week. But in the meantime, everyone who's seen the show has said, no, you can't tell me that young woman is an understudy. She's fabulous. So I know that Bob Hupp learned right away what was going on. And I do want to tell everyone that we've got the most amazing cast.
Mm-hmm.
So what is?
Milbreath.
Yeah, Adrienne. So we are hoping that she will be back. But we've also certainly been thrilled with Madeline being part of our cast, too. So,
well, it is amazing. But the other things that are amazing as well, I was looking through the program book.
Uh-huh.
How did you have the time to pull all those names to make sure that they got in for the credits that you wanted to give them?
Well, fortunately, that's not my job. No, we have a wonderful director of marketing, and her name is Karen Rudolph, and she's done a superb job. Because this, you know, we have a lot of new staff members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're down to only six folks last summer.
Wow.
And Karen's one of the ones who's new. I think she came in around the beginning of November last year. And so she's done all of the marketing, all of the publicity. And I'll tell you one more story about one special thing that's happening. But she is the one who was responsible for making sure that the program was right. And, you know, that's a lot of detail, and that's a lot of getting all the names spelled right, et cetera. And she did a fabulous job.
Well, that's what I thought. And I said, they must have picked up a copy from somewhere else and printed it.
No, each show has to, you have to build it for each show. And she did that. Here, the other thing that, and this was Ron Hutchins' idea before he left town, he said, let's have a reporter come in and do a walk-on. In the show, it'll create a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. And so for the next 3 weeks on Wednesday, we have an anchor from one of our TV stations who is part of the courtroom scene. And they were there in the last couple of days getting fitted for their costumes.
And we rehearsed with the cast yesterday.
So they because it's not just walking across the stage. They have to do a little bit of the choreographer in the courtroom
scene. Yes, they do.
You can talk more about it, but I just think it's such a great idea.
Well, I can't tell you what they did because most of their action is upstairs.
Oh, it's above your head.
Above me. But I take their word for it.
Actually, I did see some video because they did, you know, they've already put it on TV. Like, look what's going to happen next week.
But
so.
They seemed very confident. I think he's used to being on TV.
Of course.
And but it went very. They were good sports, and they were. You could tell they were having fun, and the cast was very open and welcoming to them.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, and I was sort of looking at my notes I had made. And to what sort of comments you were getting off stage and balancing the things that were wonderful and realizing that you couldn't get too excited because theater's like that, you know.
Yeah.
Goes up, goes down. And with all the comments and positive, go on, you've got to do this, you can't let the rep go. How much of that is just people saying something for the saying it, and others who need to say it because they mean it. And it's going to be very interesting when you finally all come down and you're on the ground again, that you begin to assess what really happened.
I just now see what you're asking and saying. It's like when the glitter dust gathers, settles down from this glamorous reopening. Then we look at where the rep is.
Right.
And where are we and what have we done and why and all that. There's all that.
Right. Well, and I can address that, I think, having been part of this process, and that is that it going dark gave us an opportunity to really, really question everything. We certainly didn't change everything, but we questioned everything. And we decided that the most important things were to be professional. That is, we didn't need another community theater. We've got lots of really good community theaters, so we needed to be an equity house that was doing the highest possible quality we could do. We had to be affordable, which means we got to raise a lot of money in addition to selling tickets, because you can't afford to, you know, pay for what it would take to put on the quality of show we do just with ticket sales. So we didn't really raise our ticket prices for this year. And we needed to be sustainable, i.e. we got it, because there are still folks in the community who are saying, show me your business plan, or are you sure you're not going to get in trouble again? So we have a very detailed business plan going forward, which is available to anyone who wants to talk about it, because we know that some people, that's what they understand. You know, not everybody needs to see the business plan, but some people do, and we've got it. We are very, very close at this point in time to finishing the capital campaign that we'd kind of, it had become more abundant when, you know, we weren't doing well. And once that is completed, in fact, we have to raise just barely over $500,000 to complete that campaign, complete it. And once that's done, there will be money in the bank for the facilities reserve fund. There will be money in the bank as a subscription escrow fund, so that when you pay for your tickets, we don't spend that money until we put on that show, which is, you know, a novel concept. Don't spend the money till you till you're really doing what you said you were going to do with that money. We will have paid off all of our property debt. We paid off all of our vendor debt. That's long gone. We've got that done. But we are within, I think, $700,000 or $800,000 total of paying off all of our property debt too. And so we're going to be, you know, getting that done. It's amazing how much support we've received from this community. And with just a little bit more, we're going to be sustainable too. As we work through the summer, we listen to the community. And I think I heard that we've become a little aloof, a little sort of doing theater for ourselves. And so we want to be relevant. Mm-hmm. That's another thing we realize. We have to be relevant to this community.
Theater can help lead people down new paths.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But theater also has to listen to its audience, and the audience tells it what...
where it's ready to go.
It's a 50-50 thing.
Bingo. That's exactly what we learned, is that we absolutely had to be relevant to this community. And then the one final thing that we realized is that diversity, in every way that you can think about diversity, is important to us. And if you're thinking about race, if you come see this show, you're going to go, this is so cool. You know, mm-hmm. It's not all white actors up there. So it's cool.
That was Michael Rice, music director for Reps Chicago. Rice and board chair Ruth Shepherd. The show runs through March the 24th, 2019. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.